Malibu Community Radio is proud to host the class Hip Hop Past, Present, and Future, and Your Place in It with Mike Crenshaw on Saturday, January 27th at 4 p.m. at KBOO in Portland. This class will explore hip hop history locally and nationally, KBOO hip hop programming, how hip hop influences art, culture, and political consciousness, rhyme writing and production, and how liberation struggles have contributed to hip hop culture. Again, that's Hip Hop Past, Present, and Future and Your Place in It with Mike Crenshaw on Saturday, January 27th at 4 p.m. at KBOO, 20 Southeast 8th Avenue in Portland. More information can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
KBOO Community Radio is a proud co-sponsor of The Fix-It Fair on Saturday, January 27th, 9:30 a.m., at George Middle School in Portland. The Fix-It Fair helps you learn simple ways to save money and connect with resources. Join your neighbors and talk to the experts about how to spend less and stay healthy. There will be exhibits and hourly workshops on water and energy savings, food and nutrition, neighborhood and community resources, weatherizing your home, transportation, a repair cafe, and much more, with childcare and lunch provided. Again, that's the Fix-It Fair on Saturday, January 27th, 9:30 a.m. to 2:30 p.m. at George Middle School, 10,000 North Burr Avenue in Portland. More information can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
The time is 6 p.m. You're listening to KBOO Portland. Coming up next is Labor Radio.
To you, the 9-to-5-er, just making your way home. To you, the all-night driver, out in your cab alone. To you, waiting for lunch break, as the minutes drag so slow. Take courage, turn the volume up, it's Labor Radio.
Good evening, and welcome to Labor Radio, of the working class, by the working class, for the working class. I'm Jamie Partridge, and I'm one of the co-hosts. I'm here with Amanda Hill. Good evening, Amanda.
Good evening, Jamie.
And our topic tonight is Honduras, resistance to stolen election. And we have in the studio two guests, Maribel Gomez. Good evening, Maribel.
Buenas tardes.
Good evening. And Jack Herbert. Hello, Jack.
Hi.
So Maribel and Jack are both involved with the Portland Central America Solidarity Committee, and Maribel is an exile from Honduras, and we'll hear a little bit about her story. But currently, dozens of Hondurans have been killed in the resistance to a stolen presidential election last November. So Maribel, maybe you can start us off and tell us what's happened and why workers in the United States should be concerned about this.
Yeah, people in United States need to be concerned. We need to be concerned. Also, here and everywhere, and because we had elections in November 26, and just a couple months ago, and this is not just happening since November 26. And in 2009, we also got a coup d'etat, and we elect a president, Jose Manuel Zelaya, and he was kidnapped, and that was a plan orchestrated at the United States Embassy in Tegucigalpa, and led by Hillary Clinton. And in November 26, we had the people in Honduras elected Salvador Nasrallah. Mm-hmm. And he's the president that the people in Honduras wants, because we the Honduran people, we want to see changes. And because 60% of the population in Honduras is in poverty. And Juan Orlando Hernandez is the president right now, and he wants to re-elect himself. Mm-hmm. and we ratify the Constitution in 1982, and that says that president had only one term, 4 years, and that's it. And Juan Orlando Hernandez is now re-electing himself, supporting by United States, you know, giving giving the dollars, giving the money to Juan Orlando, because United States, and this is like the first quartet that the Trump administration is doing.
So this election on November 26th was going in favor of the candidate of the people, Nasrallah, and then they stopped counting. And then a day later, they announced that the president was reelected.
Yeah, Nasrallah was winning 5%, and then they shut up everything for half an hour. Half an hour later,
a day and a half.
That's what I read, that it was like 36 hours. They had several stops in the counting to rearrange things. The other thing that I found very interesting is that Hernandez actually rewrote the Constitution to allow himself to run, but the Constitution itself had said that couldn't happen, and so he violated the Constitution to elect himself again.
Yes.
Before we go on, I wanted to announce to our listeners that we do have John Walsh on the line.
Great.
From Honduras. John Walsh being a former co-host, my co-host of Labor Radio, and now is doing the good work of observing what's happening with the resistance. John, are you there?
I am here in Honduras. Thank you, Janie. Hi, everybody. Hi, Maricel.
Hi. Hola.
So, John, you're in San Pedro Sula, or where are you?
At the moment, I am. We're moving around various places, but that's where I am
About the second largest city in Honduras? Is that
it's
right?
That's correct. It's also the industrial capital. So in terms of working class and economic power, this is kind of the heart of that part of the country.
So there have been some amazing resistance, people striking, people setting up barricades, but tremendous repression, dozens, scores of people killed. Tell us about what's happening.
I'll just give you a direct personal experience from Saturday night. I'm an accompanying one group here that's very, very involved in trying to organize people's movements for both justice and dignity, and trying to achieve democracy and not have a dictatorship persist in Honduras. Part of the process that happens, people take to the streets, they put up barricades, eventually the security forces come along to clear the barricade, people set up another barricade, and the process repeats. Clearing the barricade usually means firing tear gas and then advancing to clear it. Tear gas is a good reason to leave a place if you're breathing tear gas. What happened that night, however, we were standing in front of a house just waiting to see what was going to happen. There was a barricade nearby. We knew police were not far away. All of a sudden, a bunch of explosions started. I really don't know what they were, but everybody ran in the house, so I did too. And getting inside, after going through an electronic door to the driveway, which is like an attached garage without walls, turned around and saw a uniformed agent of the security forces leveling his automatic weapon at a leader of the movement I'm accompanying, who was actually inside the house in the kitchen, not doing anything that was a threat to anyone, standing in the house, and this guy with this huge automatic rifle is aiming directly at him from a distance of maybe 10 feet away with no reason. He's invaded a house, which he has no more right to do in Honduras than he would in the U.S. without any sort of warrant or immediate threat. And he's, on the verge of pulling the trigger. Luckily, he did not do that. The guy did leave the house. I was told he also aimed at me. I didn't see that, so maybe it happened, maybe it didn't. And I'm clearly identified by a very obvious T-shirt as being an international accompanier. On the way out, the guy tossed a tear gas grenade in behind him, so for the next couple hours, we all were having to take refuge from the effects of that gas. So basically, there's a demonstration going on, people trying to exercise or demand to be able to exercise their rights. And the reaction to that is a very harsh level of repression that easily, in that case, could have been, and as I think you already said, in many cases, actually has been fatal.
So, Maribel, can you tell us what you've heard from? Are you in contact with friends, family in Honduras? What's happening with them?
I'm in contact with my family in El Progreso and also in San Pedro Sula. And it's scary because, you know, they go to all these protests and, you know, I kind of see myself in the morning kind of thinking, you know, it's what happened with my family in Honduras? What happened if I had a phone call, you know, telling me? And it's just scary, you know. Last Saturday, you know, I was watching this video that Unity TV, you know, put it in Facebook, you know, and this señor, you know, this older man, you know, 60 years old, you know, got killed, you know, protesting, and he was just protesting, you know, somebody from I think he's from a Juan Colón, and I just made me you know, yeah, made me, you know, wonder, you know, you know, why, you know, we don't have the organizations, you know, the human rights organizations in Honduras, you know, why is not organizations, you know, defending the right of the people in Honduras, you know, and we, you know, and also, you know, I feel so brave, you know, and why not, you know, to be here tonight, you know, and telling people, appealing to people, you know, to and to please denounce, you know, the violation of the basic human rights in Honduras.
Thank you, Maribel. And later on, we're going to be informing our listeners about how they can help in this situation. Maribel, you mentioned organization. What types of groups are leading the resistance? I mean, this resistance has been ongoing since actually 2009, since the first coup, but especially since November, since the stolen election. What kind are labor unions involved in the resistance?
Very much what happened in Honduras is that, you know, we had this this flourish, you know, movement, you know, and I feel myself that I, you know, my mother is a teacher, you know, and she was always involved with the as a union leader, and the teachers very much are the pioneers, you know, of the movement in Honduras. And the labor movement, you know, is kind of since the Curote in 2009, you know, is very clear, you know, that there is a strong movement, you know, there is a strong participation of the labor movement, but the resistance movement is everybody movements, you know, what is like what happened in Honduras, you know, everybody really got together, you know, is in a strong participation of the labor movement, but also, you know, is the women's, you know, is the feminists, you know, it's not such a feminist woman or campesina woman, you know, it's everybody together, is the LGBT movement, you know, is not, we're getting so educated, you know, about everybody issues, you know, it's not the LGBT issues, is the woman's issues, you know, is the teacher's issues, is the campesinos, you know, is the natives, you know, is, you know, it's like, you know, it's like Honduras is for sale, you know, to the rich people, you know, about us coming together for survival, because right now people is in the street because people rather be fighting and get killed in the street than being starving at home, you know, because they stealing, you know, they, you know, the all the resources that we had in Honduras, you know, are getting stolen by, you know, the 17 families who own, you know, 81% of the wealthy in Honduras.
Wow.
Maribel, can you, you're in exile here in the United States. Mm. Can you tell us what led to your exile?
Well, I became a teacher because my mother was a teacher, and I became very involved, you know, with the teachers union. And right then, when we had in the 80s, you know, when we had the savage, horrible repression that more than 100 union leaders got killed, and the teachers went in a national strike, and we were protesting every day for months, and I went on for months and months, and we had this repression against the teachers, and my mother and my family got scared that I was going to get arrested or get killed. And they decided that they wanted me to be safe, and they buy a ticket for me to come to United States. And I was going to stay here for a year, but you know, I was not able to go back.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
John, you still
connected here?
Are you still there?
I am here. I want to mention we are going to bring a Honduran unionist to the Labor Notes Conference in Chicago in April.
Right.
Wonderful.
So
people want to get a more direct conversation with somebody in the labor movement that Maribel's been describing, that'll be one opportunity. But also just mention a couple of organizations. The one I'm with is the Movimiento Amplio, so the broad movement for dignity and justice. Another one that many people will recognize in the U.S. is COPIN, which is the organization led for a long time by Berta Cáceres, who was then killed in retaliation for her opposition to a hydroelectric project. Mm-hmm. So just to name a couple, there are also student organizations. There are many more, but just to give a few examples of organizations that are really grassroots, that's not even a fair word in itself, really from the ground up, based community organizations that play a huge role in this situation.
Thank you, John. If you're just tuning in, you're listening to KBOO Portland Labor Radio. We're talking with Maribel Gomez, John Walsh, and Jack Herbert about Honduras resistance to stolen election. And actually, this is... not the first stolen election in recent years. And in fact, the U.S. has been involved in Honduras for many, many decades in controlling both the economy and the politics. And maybe it would be helpful if John, you or Maribel or Jack want to give a kind of capsule history of U.S. involvement in Honduras that will help folks understand. Go ahead, John.
Can I just take a moment here and see if I can ask, just one second, si puedes decir algunas palabras a la audiencia de Estados Unidos sobre la situación en Honduras y el papel de Estados Unidos. I'm going to translate this, but give me just a moment here.
Yes.
Okay. Who is this we're talking to?
Agradecer a la audiencia de la gente en Estados Unidos, pueblo solidario. Decir que estamos viviendo momentos muy difíciles de represión en Honduras y vergonzosamente quienes dirigen la política norteamericana son eje esencial, creemos, de lo que acontece en Honduras. Hay una injerencia muy marcada de Estados Unidos donde se está instaurando la violencia, más que todo alentada por el gobierno y la política norteamericana.
So that was saying, that's Martin Fernandez, who's the general coordinator of the Movimiento Amplio, saying thank you for solidarity, thank you for paying attention. There's a very severe repression happening right now in Honduras, unfortunately largely directed at the behest or under the control of the policies of the U.S. government, that the U.S. has a very major role in what's going on, what this current situation is like here in Honduras. So that's now, this is my voice, but that's a call for all of us in the U.S. to act to change that situation now.
Thank you, John. For those listeners that may not be aware, the Honduras economy has been overwhelmingly influenced by the United States from the time of the banana companies taking over land. And in fact, the resistance began with banana workers and a huge national strike in 1954. But beyond that, U.S. controlled sweatshops, a U.S. huge U.S. military base, from which was organized the Contra War against Nicaragua in the 80s. The U.S. trained death squads, which have been responsible for this repression in order to keep Honduras safe for U.S. corporations. The international attention has been focused recently on the assassination of Berta Cáceres, a popular leader. Jack, do you want to tell us a minute, give us a minute about what happened there?
Yeah, Berta was awarded in 2015 the Goldman Environmental Prize, Environmentalist of the Year for South and Central America. And on the night of March 2nd and March 3rd of 2016, just a few months later, the best known human environmental rights defender in the country, she was assassinated. So anybody in that country can be assassinated. She was largely defending Rio Blanco, a community on the Gualcarque River that I visited, where the government had decided to put in a dam, and the people resisted. A Chinese company built more dams than anybody else, got out because they didn't, because of the resistance, but then they got a company, largely upper class Hondurans invested in, and they're going forward with it. And so when she was assassinated, she was resisting that, and they were often attacked when they were out in public. But when she was assassinated, her family and organization, Copin, got together independent investigators who investigated, and they linked phone calls between the executives of the company and the employees of the company who were accused of being part of the murder team, and also connections with members of the government, members of the military, and a rich company that was helping running the corporation.
And there's some there's an act in Congress that is an attempt to do what?
Okay, it's the Berta Cáceres Human Rights in Honduras Act, and it would stop U.S. military security aid, military police security funds to Honduras until Berta's case and over 100 others are brought to justice. Of course, personally, I think you just ought to shut it off. Don't mm-hmm. put them back in business. But that's what the bill is. It has not been introduced in the Senate. And there have been numerous letters from the House and not very many from the Senate. So one thing we like is more action out of the Senate so we can ask our senators to
introduce. What's the name of the bill again?
Berta Cáceres Human Rights in Honduras Act.
Thank you. So, John, are you still there? Did we?
Yes, I am.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Can you give us an overview of what you've experienced in the time you're there and what you plan to do, particularly the organizations that you're visiting with and what they hope to accomplish?
Just briefly, let me start by saying that one really big factor in all this is community radio. So people at KBOO should be conscious of the fact that what they're doing is a very international project. Today, earlier, we were on radio, Radio Progreso, very well known by people who pay attention to Honduras. Also been several times a guest on Radio Dignidad. So community radio is a really big part of how people get accurate information here. No one trusts the media, and that's instructive, obviously, for us in the U.S., too. What I'm doing is accompanying, which means being with people who are working for justice in the hope that that presence lets them have a lower level of risk. There is a reluctance because of the role of the U.S. government for the U.S.-funded security forces to do anything that would get them bad press in the U.S., like killing me or any other American citizen. So we hope that deters them from doing anything of that sort to the people who are accompanying while we're around. That's the primary purpose. It's very short-term and immediate. It's based on privilege we do not merit, but since we have it, we might as well put it to some useful purpose. The longer-term purpose is to observe and understand what's going on so we can share that information with people in the U.S., like we're doing right now, thanks to you guys having us on the program, in the hope of changing U.S. policy and also changing the corporate practices, economic structures that exploit people big time here, and certainly also within the U.S. and every place else. It's a global economy. We all suffer from the lack of equality, the lack of opportunity, the lack of justice in it. And being here is part of the work that we all do, whether at home or when traveling, to try and change that for the future.
Thank you, John Walsh. Maribel, do you want to give our listeners some final words about why they should care, why they should be involved?
Yeah, because what is happening in Honduras, you know, can happen here. And what I think this is, they testing in Honduras what can be done here. And people is getting killed. 40 people has been killed since the elections, and people been getting killed because they protesting. And all the people in Honduras want is basic rights, just the right to vote, and the right to have freedom of expression, and the right to protest. And can you tell us what we are doing here, Jack?
Yes, so we've been lobbying our members of Congress, and we three members of the House, Bonamici, Blumenauer, and DeFazio, signed on to a bill, a letter from Representative Ellison just 2 days before the vacation holiday recess to stop the security aid and call for new elections. And so Schrader did not, so people who are constituents of Representative Schrader can really get on his case. The others can go thank them, and you can elect somebody better maybe in Vancouver. But in the House, what's happened there is Senator Leahy, a ranking Democrat on Appropriations Committee, said he wants to put a hold on the U.S. security aid, but he needs support from other senators to do it. And we understand that Senators Wyden and Merkley support him, but it hasn't happened, and we would urge them, particularly Senator Merkley, to get out and lobby the other senators and get the support. And then another thing is to work for, rather than a new election, just putting the guy who was elected, really elected, in, because a new election would be very dangerous, and they would go all out to prevent anybody else from winning.
Can you tell us how to get a hold of Senator Merkley?
Let's see. Yeah, sorry. Okay. His phone number is here in Portland, 503-326-3386. That's 503-326-3386.
Thank you. And if people want more information about the ongoing struggle to defend the people of Honduras, contact Portland Central America Solidarity Committee.
Yeah, that would be good. You could email us at core team, that's just the words core, C-O-R-E, and the word team, all run together, at pcast.net, or you could call me at 971-205-2254.
Well, we're running out of time here, and I want to thank our guests, Maribel Gomez, Jack Herbert, and John Walsh. John, thank you so much for your contribution to the struggle.
And thank you all.
This has been Labor Radio this Monday night and every Monday night at 6 o'clock, the only show of its kind in Oregon or Southwest Washington. Let me just end by announcing to our listeners that the Burgerville Workers Union is holding a picket on Wednesday if you want to contribute to that struggle for fast food workers to get their rights on the job. It's a picket at the Convention Center store Wednesday, 4:30 to 7:30, meeting at the Martin Luther King Jr. statue in front of the Convention Center. It's a protest of retaliation against union activists. So that's Burgerville Workers Union picket on Wednesday, 4:30 to 7:30, meet at the Martin Luther King statue in front of the Convention Center. And as John suggested earlier, if you're interested in meeting one of the Honduran resistance leaders in Chicago, April 6th through 8th at the Labor Notes Conference, go to labornotes.org, that's all one word, labornotes.org/2018. Thank you, everyone.
Thanks,
Amanda.
Thank you, Maribel.
Gracias. Yeah.
And Jack.
Thank you.
To you, the 9-to-5-er, just making your way home. To you, the all-night driver, out in your cab alone. To you, waiting for lunch break, as the minutes drag so slow. Take courage, turn the volume up, it's Labor Radio.
Mm-hmm.
KBOO Community Radio is a proud co-sponsor of the Fix-It Fair on Saturday, January 27th, 9:30 a.m. at George Middle School in Portland. The Fix-It Fair helps you learn simple ways to save money and connect with resources. Join your neighbors and talk to the experts about how to spend less and stay healthy. There will be exhibits and hourly workshops on water and energy savings, food and nutrition, neighborhood and community resources, weatherizing your home, transportation, a repair cafe, and much more, with childcare and lunch provided. Again, that's the Fix-It Fair on Saturday, January 27th, 9:30 a.m. to 2:30 p.m. at George Middle School, 10,000 North Burr Avenue in Portland. More information can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events. KBOO Community Radio is a proud co-sponsor of Thirsty City, a monthly beat and rap night at The Know in Portland. On Saturday, January 27th, Thirsty City hosts the launch party for their new label and cassette release featuring 29 beat instrumentalists from Portland and Munich. The release party also features live sets by Bry Zen, 2 North, and more. Again, that's Thirsty City at The Know, 3728 Northeast Sandy Boulevard in Portland. More information can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
Prison Pipeline presents a unique perspective of the criminal justice system, addressing the root causes of crime and broadening understanding of the institution of incarceration. Baby.